Hello, everybody, and welcome to Iceberg to Go, your daily dose of Pittsburgh Penguins news and analysis. You can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcast from. Before we talk about Trevor Zegras a little bit today, I want to remind everybody that we are doing a Jaromir Jagr bobblehead giveaway. You can enter twice. First, by subscribing to us at Inside the Penguins on YouTube, screenshotting that proof of subscription and posting it under the pinned tweet at Iceberg Podcast. And for a bonus entry, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify, and the same rules apply. Screenshot it, post it under that pinned tweet on Twitter, and the winner will be selected next Tuesday, April 30th, on our typical Tuesday live streams around 4 p.m. So get in for your chance at the Jaromir Jagr bobblehead. But let's move on and talk about Trevor Zegras, a player that, outside of Jake Guentzel, is probably the best and most talented player the Penguins could potentially acquire here between now and mid-September when they return for training camp of the 2024-25 season. You look at what the Penguins are looking to do this offseason. Kyle Dubas has mentioned it on several occasions. He wants to become younger. He wants to become more skilled and more talented. And Trevor Zegras has that written all over him. 2 years ago, he appeared to be the emerging face of the Anaheim Ducks organization, but now it seems like he might be more likely to be heading for a new home this summer. His future in Anaheim is highly uncertain after a rocky last 8 or 9 months of him and the Anaheim Ducks with general manager Pat Verbeek. You look back at the preseason, he had some icy contract negotiations with Pat Verbeek and the Anaheim Ducks, which led to him missing training camp and ultimately signing a 3-year bridge deal for $5.75 million. And then you look at what the Ducks have around him. Leo Carlson comes in and has a fantastic rookie season. Mason McTavish looking like a bona fide star in the 2023-24 season as well. And then in the midway point of the season, they trade Jamie Drysdale and they bring in another young, talented forward in Cutter Gauthier. And all of a sudden, the question became, well, where does Trevor Zegras fit? Between those three players, not to mention Troy Terry, who's on a long contract worth $7 million a season, does Trevor Zegras fit into the future plans of Pat Verbeek? And Frank Saravalli of the Daily Faceoff came out and practically said in the midpoint of the season that it might not be a match made in heaven anymore. The way that Pat Verbeek wants this organization to play, the way he wants his players to perform, he doesn't know if Trevor Zegras really fits that mold, fits the Verbeek mold anymore, which is why you started to hear some trade rumors around the NHL trade deadline. But as TSN reporter, Darren Dreger, almost said Ray Ferraro, but Darren Dreger mentioned it's something that's more likely to happen in the offseason if it's going to happen. So now that's where we stand right now. Does it happen? What happens in this saga with Trevor Zegras? There haven't been any major updates since that trade deadline, obviously, because the speculation can get shut down and shut up for several months. So what is the price? Because I would imagine it's very, very high, right? Maybe it's a roster player, a prospect, and 2 picks, including a first rounder. If that's the case, are you willing to pay that if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins? Now, Zegras, ultimately talented, 23 years old, would probably be or could be your second to first line center for about 8 or 9 seasons, maybe even more than that if he evolves his game and he's able to mature his game a lot into his late 20s and early 30s. So is that worth it if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins? Does he raise the bar enough immediately to where you can bring him in and have him be part of this final run for Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby and Chris Letang, and then be able to carry that torch as one of the pillars of that next generation of Penguins hockey? That's the question you have to ask if you're Kyle Dubas and if you're interested in this trade in the first place. Now, a move that I would look at, if that ends up being the price, is you send over, or at least request to send over, a Riley Smith, Sam Poulin, and it is going to, at this moment, probably cost you a first and a second round pick. That would be the 2025 first, because it's likely the Penguins won't finish within the top 10 after the NHL's draft lottery coming up in about a week and a half. And then probably a 2024 second, since the Penguins have two of those, one of them being from the Jake Guentzel trade. So If that's the move, are you okay with that? Does that fit and does that make sense for the Penguins? To me, I think it makes a little bit of sense for the Anaheim Ducks. I'm not exactly sure if Smith and Poulin would get that done, but it does echo the sentiments of what Pat Verbeek wants. He might want a veteran there in Riley Smith that helps, you know, outweigh the 5.75 going out from Trevor Zegras with the $5 million going in from Riley Smith, helps that work salary cap-wise for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and brings him a middle six forward that's going to be able to be defensively responsible and help supplant some of those young rising stars that are going to make some mistakes. And then you bring in Sam Poulin, a 23-year-old that does have that all-around 200-foot game that could end up being a bottom six option for the Anaheim Ducks moving forward. Is that ending up being the price, and if are you willing to pay that price for Trevor Zegras? I go back and forth on it because Zegras, he's a guy that twice in this league already has scored 60 plus points, twice in this league already has eclipsed 20 goals in a season. He did have a rough year this year, missing training camp, like I mentioned, for a contract year, which led to a slow start where he had only 2 points in 12 games. And then you look at what happened. He was injury-riddled the rest of the season. He missed about 6 weeks with a groin injury, came back, played 8 games, and then he broke his ankle and was out until the final 11 games of the season. And in that time, not the greatest season, but also still putting up 15 points in 31 games in total. But you look at what he did the previous 2 years. In 2021-22, he was a Calder finalist. 61 points, 23 of them being goals in 75 games played. And that was for an Anaheim Ducks team that was 24th in the league in scoring. And then the year after that, in 2022-23, he had 65 points. Once again, 23 goals, but this time in 81 games played for a 31st ranked Anaheim Ducks team in offensive output. So again, you look at what he could bring to the Penguins. He's probably a guy that you can play on a line with Evgeny Malkin and Michael Bunting and see how that works out. And if Evgeny Malkin eventually needs to transition to the wing, Trevor Zegras has that capability as well. And does he become your second line center behind Sidney Crosby for those last couple of years as Evgeny Malkin starts to wind down his career here over the next two? And that's the other thing I want to point out here. You have Trevor Zegras at a pretty reasonable cap hit at 5.75 for the next 2 years. That lines up perfectly with Evgeny Malkin and his remaining 2 years on his contract at $6.1 million. So you won't have to worry about paying Zegras when his contract is up because you're going to have a lot more salary cap space with Malkin likely coming off the books and likely retiring at the end of his current contract. So it makes sense for the Penguins from a player perspective. The one poison pill in this is how much are you willing to pay? I've said it like 6 or 7 times in this episode already. That Smith, Poulin, a first and a second, is that worth it? Does Kyle Dubas really want to go for the big swing for a second consecutive offseason? He did it last year with Erik Karlsson. Does he want to do it again this year? The one thing I will say is he put himself in a position, Dubas that is to where he can be involved in these conversations, right? He has a lot more young talent to where he doesn't have to worry as much about those picks. He showed you at the NHL trade deadline he's not as worried about those picks in general because he, in favor of picks, wanted to get prospects. He said, I don't really want picks in the 2023 draft. He got a second rounder in order to get a Vasily Ponomarev and a Ville Koivunen. So does he care about the picks, or is he more inclined to look for prospects to which he doesn't have to give up any of his top 4 or 5 here? He doesn't have to give up an Owen Pickering. He doesn't have to give up a Braden Jaeger. He doesn't have to give up one of those two that I just mentioned in Koivunen or Ponomarev. He doesn't have to give up a guy like Valtteri Puustinen, who is right now teetering on NHL ready. So does this move work for Pat Verbeek? Does this move work for Kyle Dubas? I think that it certainly answers questions on both sides. The only question that remains for me is, are you willing to give up that first? I know a lot of people in the comment section are probably going to say, hell no, I'm not willing to give up a first for a guy like Trevor Zegras. But at 23 years old, with a lot of upside left to go, and a player that can immediately come in and be a top six guy for the next half a decade plus, considering where the Pens are, I think it certainly gets interesting. And the longer this summer goes, and if it bleeds into next season, does that price ultimately end up coming down? There's no rush on it if you're Pat Verbeek, right? You have this guy for two more years. You don't have to pay a Carlson or a Gauthier or a McTavish anytime soon. It's just a matter of building the future of that team and what do they want to do with that and when can they get the best for Trevor Zegras. So does he wait it out and end up keeping Zegras ultimately for next season? That's possible. And that's why I don't know if the price is going to come down. But it's going to be a massive storyline to watch around the NHL, and I think it would be interesting if the Penguins end up being involved in this at all. I think it's the biggest move outside of re-signing Gensel that they could make, and to be completely honest, I think it's a more beneficial move than re-signing Jake Gensel. You get him for cheaper right away, and while you might have to pay a little bit more when it comes to the acquisition tax of sending out those picks, I think it sets you up better for the future. But that's going to do it for this episode of Iceberg to Go. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Remember, you can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcasts from.